industry came under fire during the Irish potato famine. The government did not step in when it should have because it was interfering with the natural order. A million Irish died, thousands more fled out and came to America during the Great Potato Famine. Finally, it was in this context that Karl Marx wrote his book, Das Kapital, The Communist Manifesto. And the Communist Manifesto reflects in the, when he talks about the bourgeois and the proletariat, it reflects conditions as they were. When he opposes capitalism, he opposes capitalism as it was in the early Industrial Revolution. And it's interesting. That's why the modern terminology of communist use has nothing whatever to do with modern Western capitalism. All different now. It was quite cruel. And the church, and when he says the church is the opiate of the people, the church is an enemy, it's because the church took the position that the government must not step in and help. Such things as child labor and famines. So the church, of course, was not actually right about that.
Concerned about the eternal destiny of people, but their life here and now. And
you can read through that, I don't want to take time on that. I want to skip ahead now to the progress of Protestantism in Germany before Hitler and under Hitler. It's coming up into the modern times now. Before Hitler and under Hitler. We recall that the Lutheran Church was a state church in Germany, but it was not, it was a very weak church. We'll talk about the Pietistic movements, we call that. The Pietists and the Moravians. The Lutheran Church has never had in England, in Germany, a central headquarters. Different territories have their own churches. It's all Lutheran, and mostly Lutheran. It was very weak, as I point out on page 118. There was a strong spirit of anti-religion, which I have discussed, I do not need to go into again. Socialism was growing in Germany. And there was a definite attack of the godless. There was a strong atheistic movement in Germany, which I discussed at the bottom of page 118. There was the League of Proletarian Free Thinkers, for instance. 700,000 members, think about that. And this was not the largest organization. I wonder why Hitler couldn't get away with what he did. Such a strong anti-religious movement. Children were systematically being raised as atheists. When Hitler came to power, he stood for a program of what he called positive Christianity. He took the name Christian. And really what he did was, I mentioned it here, what was the policy under Hitler? His policy regarding the Roman Catholic Church was to crush it. Why? Because he could not control the bishops. But the Protestant church movement, he wanted to assume it, he wanted to convert it to his own use, to make it a pagan movement. It was pretty well pagan, much of it was pagan anyway. He then announced what he meant by positive Christianity. It was simple atheism, that God revealed himself, if there was a God, the closest thing you come to God was the German spirit, the Teutonic spirit, and the Teutonic spirit was best represented in himself. He was the Führer, and Führer meant the guide of this divine or this German spirit, which was God. Understand? There was no God in the biblical sense. The only God was the German spirit, the superiorly evolved German spirit, and he was the guide of that spirit. That is, he became the head of the state cult. You know that? Just like Germany, it's like the emperor was in Japan before the Second World War. He was the head of a state religious cult, like the ancient Roman emperors. And then they tried to destroy any opposition. You know, don't you, more Christians died under Hitler than Jews. It's a strength that the world has remembered that. But there were about 7 million Christians or non-Jews died. Not always from being a Christian, but many of them were. And I think this is to the humiliation of the church. The Jews have made it a point that the world remember the Jews who were killed, as they should have. But the church somehow has not been. You can see a Holocaust museum in Jerusalem, I've been there, for the Jews. But where is the Holocaust museum for the Christians? Well, you see, the media also, the media dramatizes the death of the Jews in several major TV movies and series, miniseries on this in the last 20 years. But the media, true to its program, ignores the Holocaust of Christians. Yeah, because you take CBS, ABC, NBC. If an atheist should suffer the loss of a tiny civil right in some backwoods part of America, its front page, Christians can go to jail for their faith. And if it appears in the papers at all, in the struggle of this German, of Hitler with the Protestants, three parties developed. I listed them. There were the German Christians. These were about 2,000 of the 17,000 ministers of the Lutheran Church. They went over to Hitler. The German Christians were Hitlerized. They just joined them. They didn't do anything anyway. Why not? Second, there were the confessional church. These were the ones who resisted Hitler to the end. It became an underground church, and this was the group that furnished the martyrs, such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer. They hanged him in 1945. Martin Niemöller was in prison for many years. And there were about 7,000 ministers in this group. Think about that. About 7,000 Lutheran ministers opposed Hitler. Most of them died from their trouble. And many of these were Reformed, not Lutheran, were Reformed churches, not Lutheran. Then there were the neutrals who set it out without taking a stand. And they're the ones who were the cowards. Just didn't go with the other. The church as a whole never supported the war officially. What about the Lutheran, the church in Germany, Protestant church after Hitler? Well, the church was reorganized in 1945. The Evangelical Church in Germany was formed. I've already taught you that they prefer that term, Evangelical, to Lutheran. The German Christians, those who sided with Hitler, were eliminated. A federation of German churches was formed. And the church confessed its national guilt, as it should have. They resumed ecumenical ties, and they began the job of recovering from the physical devastation of the war. Almost all the church buildings in Germany's major cities were destroyed by the bombing. Most of the good leaders were dead, the people were bankrupt, and Protestantism had always been the strongest in East Germany, and East Germany fell behind the Iron Curtain. So that hurt. When the East Germans left, that is, it was hard. What I'm saying is Protestantism was hurt because all the church buildings, and most of the church buildings in the major cities were destroyed, and didn't have any money to rebuild them. Yes, Jim.
Just to back up a second, when Hitler got himself voted in to his church as the leader, was that how he got his?
No, wasn't official vote. He just declared himself the Führer, the leader of this divine German spirit.
I don't understand how he just got all these people to follow him.
Yes. Population, and then he started bombing the civilian population of England. Well, the Allies responded Dresden, just level. And Berlin was practically destroyed, you know, very few buildings were damaged in Berlin. And it was made doubly devastating by the fact that Hitler refused to surrender. And later on in the war, Hitler lost his air cover. That is, much of the Luftwaffe was shot down, destroyed, and he could not. The bombers, in the last few months of the war, Allied bombers from England could fly daylight raids unopposed, there weren't enough fighter planes in Germany to stop daylight raids. I mean, you imagine these big Lancaster bombers, in daylight, they could they ran a dump run, just dumb. Plane after plane of bombs in these cities. This devastated Germany. And the church, as I said, the church building were destroyed. Almost all the church buildings were destroyed in major cities. Okay. Well, in all this, however, the churches are being rebuilt in West Germany, and there's some signs of renewal. The developer has come about a strong lay movement in the German Protestant church. Now we come to the growth of Protestantism in America. This is the last section we talk about in America. And I want to skip discussion 27, except to point out that a couple of major themes. There was the idea of progress, and there was this restless movement west. And so it produced an idea of, look on page 122. This is one of the things that set American Protestantism off from European Protestantism, and that was the idea of the freedom to try anything and the willingness of the individual to do it. And this affected the church. Frederick Jackson Turner, the historian of the frontier, said that the West was a form of society rather than an area. Now listen to this statement, this is very important. The time of America, forged on the Western frontier, set his mark upon the life of the nation, and I would add on the church. So unmistakably, that the philosophy of the frontier came to color the activities of the entire United States. Equality of condition. You see, in England, in Europe, the idea was, who's the best man? The best man, the aristocrat, is the man born to it. Down the frontier, it didn't matter what your bloodline was. It didn't matter how much education you had. On the frontier, it was survival of the best, only the fittest. You could work the hardest and shoot the straightest, and you made it. You were smart and tough. You made it on the frontier. And if you didn't, you didn't. And so they rose to the aristocracy of those who really were the best. Equality, and everybody was equal on the frontier. Equality of condition, the emergence of the genuine aristocratic, the unsurpassed self-confidence of a survivor, you know, I can handle anything, common sense idealism, to survive on the frontier you had to have some common sense, the atmosphere of lawless violence, no God west of, or no religion west of the Mississippi, no God west of the Pecos. The idea of the day of the American cowboy, which was comparatively short in history, but it was very violent, where law and order came to the territories, to the states, as the territories became states. All woven into the fabric of the Americans, but it still is, but not to the extent. America became not the land of the fathers, but the land of the children. This resulted in the deification of the common name. And educated in English became a very big European thing to travel to America and write about your travels on the frontier. Europeans did this, French did it, de Tocqueville did it, his famous writing we'll refer to later perhaps. An educated Englishman wrote on the deification of the common man. You see, this is the American spirit. Who is the best man? The common man. In Europe, the common man was looked down upon, the gentleman was looked up to. This was reversed in America very often, especially in the West. By the west of this period, we mean anything west of the Alleghenies. The common man was looked up to, it was the gentleman who was looked down on. Why? He wasn't much good on the frontier. You understand? The frontier created a whole new way of thinking about it. of thinking about people and a whole new way of people thinking about themselves. I give this example. A man to be popular in our western towns, this Britisher wrote, and with the country people around, should be acquainted with everybody, shake hands with everybody. See, an English aristocrat or a European wouldn't do that. Shake hands with everybody. Think about that. Shake hands with everybody. Wear an old coat with at least one good hole in it. He's being whimsical now. A little whiskey and a few squirts of tobacco juice are indispensable. For much of the former, you may be excused if you treat liberally to the others. If there is one fool bigger than another, defer to him, make much of him. If there is one fellow a little more greasy and dirty than another, be sure to hug him. Do all this, and you have done much toward being a popular man. At least you could scarcely have a jury case against you. See, when, listen to me, when, it's called Jacksonian democracy. When Andy Jackson became president, he was the first president who was not of the East Coast landed aristocracy. He was not of the same, cut out of the same cloth as Washington and Jefferson and Madison, the aristocratic landowners. Andy Jackson was a rough and tumble fellow from the frontier. Of course, and this new
about this, the idea that you
preserve the integrity of the law. My own father shot 5 different people. Shot the last 2 when I was 8 years old, who needed to be shot. Didn't hurt, didn't kill anybody. They'd steal, you know, they were stealing gas and our tractors. The rule was, everybody understood that, and that was sort of the end of that. You can't do it now, even back there. But the rule was, if you stole, you took your chances. And if you...
Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists and the Worldwide Church.
coming of the Lord right away. They used to sit